Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Welcome everyone to the Transition Bridge Podcast. Today, we are going to have a conversation about the topic of codependency. My guest, Valerie Cantella, will be sharing her expertise in this area with us today. And what I love is I had Valerie on my podcast a few months back, and her episode called The Recovering Perfectionist. It's episode number 27. And I could tell you it was widely listened to by the audience. And I highly recommend, if you have a chance, go back and listen to that episode as well. Valerie just came forth with so much wisdom and transparency on the topic of perfectionism. And that's something else we all struggle with. So I wanted to have Valerie come back so she could come and share her expertise and wisdom on codependency. You know, Valerie, I'm so glad that we're talking about this topic. And I just believe there's a lot of us in the audience who may not even realize that they are walking in codependency, or we may all know someone who truly is codependent and we are at a loss to even know how to help them. So before we get into this much needed topic, can you just briefly share with the audience who you are and what you're doing?
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for having me back. My name is Valerie Cantella, and I'm a mom and wife. I'm a recovering perfectionist and a multi-passionate professional, sharing my story to help others live their lives fully and in a joyful and blessed way. And I know that sounds trite, but I want to use my experience of parenting a special needs child and having a marriage where I was married to an alcoholic for almost 19 years, and then a son who went through some struggles with drug abuse, to bring the message of hope to people and help use my experiences to support others.
And I believe when you come from a place of experience, you bring so much value because you've been there, you understand the struggles, the pain, the hurt. And out of that comes so much wisdom and steps for all of us to learn how to take. So if we're all struggling in those same areas, we can learn so much from what you've been through, Valerie. So thank you again for being here. And let's just dive in on codependency.
Well, codependency is never a word that I wanted in my vocabulary. It's not something we grow up thinking we want to be a codependent. I was a very ambitious college student, ready to take on the world and just excited about my future and pretty independent. And I ended up dating a man who I eventually married and maintained a lot of that independence and spunk, but also developed some of the codependent behaviors, which I didn't learn about until I was in my 40s. We had been married for almost 19 years when I realized that he was an alcoholic. And that may sound really funny to people, but my husband was a highly functional, very well-respected professional in his company. He could go to work every day and provide for our family. But when he came home, he would have a martini and fall asleep on the couch. And I didn't know any better, but I just thought that was a normal behavior for someone who had a highly stressful job. And it wasn't until I went to a therapist to talk about what was going on in my marriage. She said to me, your husband may be an alcoholic. She handed me a copy of the book, Codependent No More, and said, I highly recommend you read this and go to an Al-Anon meeting. And it was like she had thrown water on my face, because it had never even occurred to me that my husband might be an alcoholic, because he was so high functioning. And I thought alcoholics were the people that ask for money outside the grocery store, grubby hands, dirty, smelly, not highly functioning professionals. So I went home and read that book after crying the whole way home, thinking there's no way my husband could be an alcoholic, but what do I do with that information? And what is this book going to tell me? And there is no way that I'm going to go to Al-Anon, a program for me, when it's his problem. But as I read through the pages of that book, it was speaking to me so, so deeply. Did I say yes when I wanted to say no? Was I anticipating other people's problems? Was I doing more than my fair share of the work? All of those behaviors, and those are just a few of the many, were exactly what who I'd become. And it was so hard for me to understand how I had gone from this really ambitious college student to this, what I saw as a codependent being a negative term. And even though I thought codependency was a negative term, I thought I was being nice and kind and the supportive wife. I really feel hopeful about the word codependency because it allows us to acknowledge, even just have an awareness of the knowledge of what we're going through, the ability to accept and the ability to move on and change and grow from it. And even though I don't like the label codependent as one for myself, I am a codependent. And thankfully, I've grown and learned from that experience.
Wow, Valerie, just listening to your story, how many of us can find ourselves in a situation where what I'm hearing you say is you were very kind, you were very supportive, but yet in a way, was that like an enabling of your husband's alcoholism? Is that what I'm hearing? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's definitely enabling his behaviors. And I didn't call him on the bad behaviors because I didn't want to rock the boat and I didn't want to create extra stress for him because then I thought he'd drink more. But what happens sometimes with codependents is we give and give and give and give, and then we become resentful and we're mad at them, the other person, for our own behaviors, which we have control over. So it was an important concept for me to learn that he wasn't forcing me to do this, even though in my mind, I was being forced to cover for him, to lie for him, to accommodate things within our family because he had a really stressful job and he was, you know, he needed to have a drink to relax after work. Where that was me not being able to have solid boundaries where I could say, yeah, that doesn't work for me. I love you, but this is what's appropriate for me. Or I love you, but oh, I can't take care of the kids, clean the house, have this highly stressful job myself and do all this. So it's kind of an awareness that my niceness, so to speak, my niceness turned into not niceness because I was just resentful and bitter and angry at him, but I couldn't actually be verbally or outwardly angry. So it just festered inside of me. And I was a very rigid and felt very restrictive in what I could do or say because I didn't want to rock the boat. And this is pretty typical of codependence. It's like we shrink ourselves so that we don't get in the other person's way and that we don't create, we don't value ourselves enough to take care of ourselves.
So it's almost like we are forced, for lack of a better word, to act in a certain way as a result of someone else's behavior. That's really not who we are, but we kind of change our own behaviors.
Yeah, we're not forced, but that we don't grow up with the coping skills to know how to set healthy boundaries. And I think that's really the root of codependency is the fact that we haven't learned to say, this doesn't feel comfortable for me, and this is what I'm willing to do. Think about those times when, as children, someone would say, oh, give your grandpa or some adult male, perhaps, a hug. And that didn't feel very comfortable to you because you didn't know them and you were comfortable, but you wanted to obey your parents. So you did what they said you should do. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't obey your parents at all, but I'm saying that we should listen to our children's feelings or we should listen to our own feelings when something doesn't feel comfortable. To realize that we do have some authority and we do have the ability to set our own boundaries. I like the phrase, you can only control what's in your hula hoop. And in my pre-life, my previous life, in my very codependent life, my hula hoop felt very big, like I had control over everything, whereas I really had control over very little.
That's so interesting to hear how you communicate that. I'm really learning a lot as I listen to you. So are there other symptoms, like for anyone who's listening and wondering if we are codependent, are there other actions or symptoms that would be connected to being codependent?
Well, it's interesting. Earlier, you said something about the number of people that could be affected by codependency. And it's very typical of people that are in a relationship with someone with alcoholism or substance abuse. And I read a fact recently, a statistic that said 40% of American adults have a family member or a loved one that are alcoholic or have a substance abuse problem. So that means 40% of American adults are likely codependent in some way. And then you think of all the caretakers of people with mental illness and other types of caretakers, those people tend to have some codependent behaviors as well. And so codependency takes a lot of different forms. And there's a great book, Melody Beatty, who's kind of the queen of codependency. She wrote her first book on it a number of years ago, which is the one I read. And I just got the updated version of Codependent No More. And she separates out the characteristics into different domains. And there are certain ones that you'll find, oh, I really resonate with that a lot. And others that you don't necessarily. So some people as codependents really derive all of their value from what another person says. So they have no self-esteem, can't make decisions on their own because they're not confident in their ability to make a decision, really looking to the other person for acknowledgement and acceptance and love. There's a huge list, and I'm sorry, I can't rattle them all off, but I highly recommend getting a copy of Melody's book because it does provide so much context and also strategies for how to deal with codependency.
Oh, that's what I would love to hear. I have something here with some possible things to be aware of. Like you could possibly be extremely self-critical of yourself, or you're a people pleaser, afraid of disappointing or upsetting others. You're a perfectionist, or you tend to overwork and overschedule yourself. You crave predictability, structure, and certainty. You absorb other people's feelings. Do you want to tackle any of those and maybe give some insight?
Well, all of those are things that were characteristic of me. And as we discussed in the last episode where we chatted, the perfectionism definitely was something I had before I was in this marriage, but blossomed with this situation because I felt like if I could create a perfect life for our family, if I could eliminate any possible stressors, then my husband would drink less. And there again, I was assuming that I had some control over someone else's behavior. But yeah, definitely the doing more than your share of the work. I saw that in my own life at home, but I also see it. I saw it back then in my workplace. I always wanted to be the star student and I wanted my boss to be really happy with me. And people would say, oh, can you do this for me? And instead of saying, let me think about that, which is a really good strategy for giving yourself time to evaluate whether or not you really want to do it and if you have capacity to do it, I would always say, sure, let me do that. And instead of understanding and recognizing that I needed time to refresh and recharge myself, I would go ahead and think that these were that I was making friends and really influencing people that way. But instead, I was just getting super burnt out because I wasn't caring for myself in that time. it's so interesting too. When I left that job, I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard to replace me because I did all this stuff and they're going to be so grateful. And they weren't. I mean, they were appropriately grateful, but it wasn't, I felt like I was giving. And yet they just assumed that I was going to do that because I had always done that. And so I think too, having codependent behaviors like the lack of boundaries sets us up for long-term failure, because we can do certain things for a certain amount of time, but it's hard to maintain that level of giving constantly because you do face burnout. And you see that a lot with caregivers, loved ones of people, older adults that need care, nurses, doctors, therapists, because they're constantly giving. And if you don't make time to recharge, you can't give anything else.
No, that's so true. That's one thing that we're all trying to focus more on in life is our own personal self-care, especially if you are taking care of someone who is ill and needs all that you can give every single day. You need to find that community so you can get filled back up again, you know, for yourself. I'm so glad that you brought attention to that. So what I think I'm hearing you say is when we're in a relationship, we take on the responsibility of fixing something that's not our responsibility. But then as a result, it wears us out. We become someone who we're not. Or we could be in a relationship where, like, this is what I want to ask you. Like, in a codependent relationship, is there a person who's stronger and one who is weaker? Because some people can both be codependent and be in the same relationship. And I think those dynamics, they must change every week depending on what's going on internally inside that person.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because in my experience, there are a lot of Al-Anons or loved ones of alcoholics who are codependent because we've spent all this time trying to meet their needs and satisfy them and protect them from themselves and manage their responsibilities, like you said. And so Al-Anon actually was created for the loved ones of alcoholics to help us understand our behaviors and what we were doing as a result of their behaviors. And I see a lot of people, I regularly attend Al-Anon, and there are people that are in both AA and Al-Anon because they have those behaviors. They may have grown up in an alcoholic household and learned to be codependent because of their relationship with their parent that they were having to take care of because perhaps they were drunk on the couch and couldn't get to work, or it's just, yeah, an interesting dynamic. And I actually am married to an alcoholic in recovery now, a different one than I was originally married to. And, you know, I do see sometimes it comes out that I want to take care of his problems, but I'm a very different person than I was before I discovered that I was codependent, and I've learned to manage some of those behaviors. And now I pause to say, is this my problem to solve? Do I have a role in this? What am I comfortable doing? How does this feel? Being in touch with my feelings of, is this good for me? Am I wanting to be a caretaker or provide care to this other person? Or am I giving up some of my own care for myself?
It sounds very complicated in a way when you start listening to all the different layers that could potentially be in the personality of a person who's experiencing this. And one of the questions I have for you, are there people who deny that they are codependent? Do they talk themselves out of it? You know, for instance, like some people could totally feel responsible for everyone's well-being, like they're savior. They're always trying to fix the broken. right? maybe somehow they feel better about themselves because they're the fixer, or they may be experiencing high levels of guilt and shame, maybe as a result of maybe not succeeding in their own life or not getting the affirmation. I'm trying to understand too. So if people are aware of, gosh, maybe I have some of these symptoms, do you know of people or have an understanding of where someone would say, I'm not codependent, and maybe just deny that?
Well, I was definitely one of those. When I first got that book and I was reading the lists and lists of pages, I was trying to minimize my honesty with myself that I really was. So I would say I was so afraid and ashamed of having the label of codependent because I had just seen myself in one way as this college student and now here as a mother of two and married to this man. How could I have changed my personality so much over those years? So I think there are people that probably have some codependent behaviors that don't want to acknowledge them. And I would say codependency is like a shades of gray because there are people that are very codependent and maintain that codependency because it's too painful, too hard to want to change. Because when you're in the middle of it, or at least for me, when I was in the middle of the worst days of my life with my alcoholic husband, my special needs daughter in a residential treatment center out of state, my son using drugs, I mean, I was in the thick of the muck. And there was not a path forward that I could see that changing my behavior to stand up for myself was going to be a benefit to my family. But it took me about a year to actually do anything with the knowledge that I read in that book. It was kind of like I read the book, I highlighted all the things that were relevant to me, and I put it away because it was too scary to handle. And it wasn't until I kicked my husband out and he got sober and we ended up getting divorced that I really started addressing my own behaviors because I knew I wanted my life to change. And it really takes that self-awareness. For me, once I'm aware of something, I will actively work to change it. But in this case, like I just said, I was aware of it, but I was too scared to take any action. And I like to think of it as we can make a little progress every day. So instead of, and boundaries, and I think boundaries are a centerpiece of that, but with codependency, just when someone asks something of us or expects something of us, taking a moment to pause and say, is this really good for me? Mm-hmm. Is this what I want to do? Am I fixing my problem or am I fixing their problem? And not, just don't answer right away. Try that for one day. How does that feel? How did that go? Did that person really expect what you thought they were expecting? And just chip away at it piece by piece. And I wouldn't say that you're ever completely free of the codependent behaviors because I will catch myself at certain times acting codependent and very needy and needing my husband to say, give me words of affirmation because I'm feeling less than or I'm putting my self-worth in something I shouldn't be. But when reading the new version of Codependent No More, I was so, so grateful just to be able to read through and see how much I've grown in the time since I became aware of my own behaviors. And we can get better every single day. I think every day is an opportunity to change ourselves and learn how to say no and learn how to say that doesn't work for me. And, oh, but I'd love to do this. This does work for me. We can be nice without being and be firm at the same time.
I love that. You're bringing hope to the situation. And I think a lot of it sounds like finding your own voice to be able to say no and not always feel like you are there for at everyone's beck and call. That, in other words, you have your own self-worth, your own self-esteem. And that was going to be my next question. What do you think some of the roots are of someone who becomes codependent? Is it Is it because they grew up maybe not with affirmation? Maybe their emotional tanks are empty and they look for someone to maybe fill that space? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I wish I had the answer because, as you know from our last conversation, I grew up in a wonderful Christian household with two very loving parents. I had the perfect childhood, as much as you can have one. And so I would have thought I would be the last person that would ever become codependent because I had no trauma and no huge red flags in my life. And yet I became codependent. And it occurred to me at one point, I lived in my marriage with my first husband longer than I lived in my parents' house. So somehow those patterns of living with an active alcoholic overwrote all of that really good foundation that I had. And I would say my first husband wasn't an active alcoholic from the moment I met him. Otherwise, I don't think I would have gotten in a relationship. I think I had a little more, was smarter at the beginning than I became over time. Because you start to accept things that you realize, I would have never accepted this 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting to kind of realize that it's not just children of alcoholics that suffer from codependency. And you can actually be affected by a marriage. Because my first Al-Anon meeting I went to, I realized, oh, I thought I was protecting myself and my kids from my husband's behavior. But really, my kids will probably end up with some codependent behaviors because of growing up in an alcoholic household. And so I can't do anything about that now, but I can encourage them to explore that and address the behaviors they may find have the roots in codependency.
Mm-hmm. And that's always good that you can be aware and watch your children as they're growing up to help them. If you do see them walk in that pattern, that's powerful. And I think that's great for all of us as parents to be watching as our children are growing and try to see, you know, do they have confidence in themselves? Are they able to stand up and have a voice? Are they too dependent on what other people say about them? Like that people pleasing, where right. We actually deny ourselves, or like you said earlier, Valerie, we shrink back and we really don't have an opinion about a lot of things in life because we'd rather please the other person with our opinion or our thoughts because we feel like the more we stroke them, the better they'll feel, and that makes us feel. So I could see that could be a real conundrum, you know, growing up in a space like that. So as we come to a close, is there something that you remember or even your own personal journey of establishing boundaries? What are some of the steps that you can give as an advice to those that are listening if they find themselves being codependent, or even if they know someone who is? Like, how can you give us some advice on how to set boundaries or anything else that you could share that you've learned that would be a benefit to the audience?
Well, I'd love to share a misconception about boundaries, and that is that boundaries, once they're set, can never be changed, and that a boundary is like a brick wall. There's no moving that wall once it's set. But I like to think of a boundary as a door or a window that you can open and close partially or all the way, or just depending on how you feel comfortable. And just because it's for today doesn't mean it's forever. So an example of how I had to do that with my son when he was an 18-year-old, he was newly clean and would call me sometimes and just be screaming at me on the phone and going through his own struggles of recovery. And I, you know, of course, initially said, you can't speak to me that way. You can't speak to me that way. That wasn't really getting through. So I just started hanging up on him, which felt like a horrible thing to do as a parent because he was obviously struggling. But it became a very effective way to say, I'm telling you I'm not willing to tolerate this, and now I'm going to take action. I'm not going to tolerate this, but please call me back when you feel better or can speak to me in a reasonable tone. And that he quickly got the message, and that really changed our relationship because he realized what I was willing to tolerate because I was telling him. Another situation that I found in setting a boundary is that when my daughter was in residential treatment, I would get these incident reports where they would let us know if something had happened that day where she had acted out or bit a staff or kicked a staff or fought with another girl or had some type of inappropriate behavior. And while that may sound traumatic for people that don't have children like my daughter, in her situation, this was pretty routine and expected. And I finally said to them, unless the staff is hurt or unless she is hurt, I cannot tolerate having the incident reports every day because she's thousands of miles away from me. I have no control over the situation. That's why you're there to take care of her and keep her safe. But it's just really hard for me as a parent to hear this about my child. And so it felt horrible to initially set the boundary, but it gave me a safe space to know that I wasn't going to be getting these reports every day. And then even in a much smaller way, we can set internal boundaries for ourselves. And what I would say, an example of that would be setting your phone up so you don't receive notifications between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. because not everyone needs to reach you 24/7. Mm-hmm. And there are ways that you can set your phone up so that you only receive notifications from certain people. So those are the types of ways I would say people can start small.
So in a way, it's almost by setting up boundaries, you're in a way withdrawing yourself from having so much influence in another person's behavior. You're trying to set boundaries around yourself where you'll feel you're in a more healthy space to respond.
Right.
Not be triggered always to respond or always feel like you have to fix that person's problem. Because if we keep doing that, and because I know someone who's in a relationship like that and they get caught up, they're so compassionate as a person that for them to almost deny themselves to not help someone goes against the core value of their heart. And I think that's where we have to be careful when we are a compassionate person, that we have to put a boundary around that compassion because it can be abused, it can be taken advantage of. And people know, oh, they're so compassionate, I could probably get them to do anything. And this is what I see in this person's life. They will tolerate a lot that they shouldn't be tolerating because their compassion is, well, I can help that person get better. I can help that person feel better. They're broken right now and I need to help them. But then they get caught in this spiral of really losing themselves as they're trying to help another person. And I know that sounds so cold as I'm saying that, but even in our compassion, we come to a place maybe where our compassion turns into enabling. We need to give that person boundaries. Like, we need you to step up in this space, you know, because you want that person to get stronger. You don't want them to stay in that broken place. But as long as you're just fixing everything, they can never rise up to who they're supposed to be. And I don't know why I feel like someone may need to hear that right now.
Sorry to interrupt you. That is a great concept that you're bringing up, the detachment with love. So I believe that there is a God and that God has a plan for everyone's life and that everyone has their own personal spiritual relationship, whether it's with God or a higher power or whatever is their higher power. And sometimes I think as codependents, we're trying to play God. We are trying to fix things that aren't ours to fix. And by trying to be in control of these things, we are not letting the other person have their own spiritual experience and letting God or higher power do their work. And so somehow someone related to me at some point, you know, we hold our children in the palms of our hands so tightly, we don't want anything to hurt them. But eventually we have to loosen our grip as they grow up and let them fly and have their own experiences. But if we close our hand, we're preventing their relationship with God and God's relationship with them, because we're getting in the middle of something that's not ours to get in the middle of. So detachment with love and setting boundaries are two concepts that seem really harsh, but actually we're really trying to help the other person thrive and have their own life, and trusting God that God is in control, and God is bigger than our little brains are and can take care of people, and trust that there is a plan. And this helps us get out of the way of ourselves, gets out of the way of the manipulation and the lying and the taking advantage of from the other person, which is very common with people that are actively using substances or alcoholic. And that sounds harsh in itself, but I've been around a lot of people in recovery, and they have all said that alcoholics are liars, cheaters. They'll take stuff from their own mothers, and it's not because they're malicious people, it's because they're sick. And so if we can acknowledge that their sickness isn't our responsibility to fix, we can find freedom, we can take care of ourselves, and they can take care of themselves.
And I think that's the key. They have to choose to want to get better. And you're just making me think of, I had someone on my podcast recently, and her son was in addiction. And what he said to her is, "Mom, I'm only alive because you never enabled me." She stepped away and said, "When you're ready for help, I'm here. But in the meantime, I cannot watch you destroy your life." And that really, he said, was what kept him alive. He was not enabled. And so taking that into codependency too, we want healthy relationships. We want a healthy and a strong love where we are really focused on taking one another higher in the gifts and talents that we've all been blessed with, and to really run a race together instead of constantly having to stop. I just feel like when you're in a healthy relationship, not that we don't have ups and downs, but I just feel when you're in a healthy relationship, you can move a whole lot faster and get a whole lot more done in this life, because you're both set on fire. You're both focused, and you're both loving each other at a deep level that is healthy and it's strong, and it ultimately brings life to both of you. So Valerie, in closing, do you have any final things you'd love to share?
Well, I just appreciate being here. My life, as I shared, has been transformed by acknowledging that I'm a codependent and accepting that I don't have to stay in those behaviors. And I really encourage anyone that may be struggling or wondering if they could perhaps be codependent to explore this. Pick up a copy of Codependent No More. It's an amazing book. It's hard to read, but you will find so much peace and freedom by understanding your behaviors and loving yourself and your person, your husband, your children, the people in your lives that you may not have set boundary with. If you can set some boundaries and take care of yourself, they can take care of themselves. And together, like you said, we can move forward for a blessed and whole life.
Beautifully said. And I've heard fabulous things about that book. I think everyone should read it, because we can not only help ourselves if we're struggling, but maybe help a loved one who needs some advice and wisdom. So thank you for sharing with us today, Valerie. And I want to thank all of you for coming together once again, where we come to this place each time to learn, to grow, and to be transformed. I always try to bring something for you, something of value that you could share with others or even learn from yourself. I know personally, I learn something every time I have a guest on this show. I feel like I have more information, more insight to just the different things in life that we all face. And so again, reach out to Valerie. I'll have her contact information in my show notes. We're here for you. And if you're struggling about what's next in life, where do I go from here? If there's a transition that you want to help process, just reach out to me as well. We're both here for you. And thank you for being here all together as our tribe, as we all learn, embrace, and grow to understand more the purpose and power of the transitions in our life.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to DebbieRonca.com. That's DebbieRonca.com.